All right. If you have a Bible tonight, open up to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah. And the kids learned, all the Bible school kids, or a bunch of them learned a good verse in Jeremiah this week. And then we did one in Zechariah. If you know the difference in Jeremiah and Zechariah, you're a Bible scholar. Amen. And but tonight we want to have a little fun. But I want to give you something, teach you something, probably more than preach, a little bit of teaching. And you don't know it, but we have a special ministry we've been working on. My kid's going to help me. Hey, kids, can y'all help me tonight? Y'all have heard of Geraldine and Ricky and we had puppets this morning, but, you know, we go all out with this, and they're passing out something. No, we're going to do something with the Bibles tonight. And they sing about the blessed hope, the book in the blood. And tonight we're going to do something a little different. And we don't have no ventriloquists, trust me. There's not anybody on my part of the side of the family that's that talented. But we're going to pass you out a Bible. And I hope everyone here has a King James Bible with you. If not, look on with the person next to you. Because what I want to do is, this one's dedicated to my dad. And that song talks about, we have loved ones on the other side. And they may be looking down, watching what we're doing. And I believe my dad, the last probably 3-4 years of his life, he spent in his spare time. Somebody said, you'll become a success at whatever you do in your spare time. That could be good, that could be bad. He spent opening these new versions and comparing, reading through and finding verses where they messed with it and changed it and twisted it. And I'm going to go ahead and say perverted it is a word he used. And I'll show you this from Scripture tonight. We'll have a little fun. Might not be fun for somebody here, but I think most of y'all, you're going to be fine. And some of you may be deer in the headlights, look at me for a minute or two, but you're going to catch on and see. And he did this, and I dedicate this to my dad, this message to him. My pastor, Dr. J.D. Wido, he said, Freddie, he asked me to do this in our home church on a Sunday night. He said, Freddie, every year from now till the Lord comes, that's Bible Baptist Church, El Dorado, Arkansas. Some of y'all know the redheaded preacher, Brother J.D. Wido, maybe know him. He's my preacher. And he said, every year, at least once a year, he said, I want you just to come in and on a Sunday night, just clean house. And I want you just to take these new versions and show and just open them. And let's just look and see. Because here's what happens. We, as Baptists, we're like this. We kind of maybe know what we believe, but we don't necessarily know why we believe it. And you know why Jehovah Witnesses pick people off and Mormons are the fastest growing cult in America right now? They get in 1 out of every 7 homes they get in, and they're out there. They get a lot of doors slammed on them. 1 out of every 7 homes that they doors they knock on, they get in, and yet it takes them 219 hours to make one convert to the Mormon church. And as tough a work as that is, they seem to be able to thrive, and they pick off Baptist. They pick off sometimes independent Baptist. And when somebody knocks on the door, they say, what is it that you believe? And us dumb Baptists, we say, well, I believe what my church believes. And okay, well, what is it that your church believes? And then we scratch our head and say, well, my church believes. Oh, I know, my church believes what I believe. Okay, what is it now? Slow down here. Let me get this, pin you down. What is it that you and your church both believe? And then we're kind of stuck, and we say, oh, I know, we believe the same thing. Now that's a Baptist for you. We may know kind of what we believe, but we don't know why, and we can't show you why. But what I'm going to do tonight is give you why we believe the King James Bible, and we believe it's the book. Everybody that gets saved seems to get saved out of the same book. They get saved out of one book, and the other versions don't cut it. And if you check back to when you got saved, It was probably from this book that you were saved. If you check the old-time preacher or the Sunday school teacher that gave you the lesson or the soul winner, it comes from one source. And yet there's 57 different brands on the market. And when you go to a Christian bookstore, It's very hard to find the King James Bible there. It's really hard. I mean, it is. It's stuck there in the back somewhere with dust on it. They don't sell it. And it's always the new version. So I want to give you some things tonight. How many of y'all have a King James Bible with you? Or you believe it? And maybe just didn't bring it tonight, I understand. But how many of y'all got a new version now in your hand? Now, they say you can't judge a book by the cover. This one's called the Living Bible. And I don't know if I want to give it to anybody because it's got cuss words in it. Bad ones. I'm not going to tell you what they are because you say it's cussing in church. But it actually has really vile cuss words in there. You know, there's some things you just don't want to put in the Bible, but they got them in there. I hope you didn't get one of these. But you don't know what kind of version. There's all different. Y'all did a good job, kids, passing them out. You got one for yourself, too. They said, Daddy, this is a fun message. I want to get one of them versions, too. And look at it. Brother Dave's looking at me like, what are you going to do? And y'all got to endure the end on this one, all right? We're not going to take long, but I want you to look at it. Look at Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23 in your Old Testament. Jeremiah 23, and notice this. You say you shouldn't use such strong language when you're talking about some other nice version. I mean, it's just a version. It's just they have their way and we have our way. Well, let's see what the Bible says here. Jeremiah 23:36. And the burden of the Lord shall you mention no more. For every man's word shall be his burden. Notice that thing. Every man has his own way. Every man's got his own word. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Isn't that something? The term that's used, Jeremiah uses this, it says perverted the words of the living God. They perverted. That's why we go ahead and say there are some perversions out there. And I want to just show you, and I just pray God opens your eyes and you can see this. And you'll get a hold of your Bible like Eleazar the son of Dodo the Aholhite was one of David's three mighty men. And when he died, that guy had a sword in his hand, a two-edged sword that he slaughtered so many people with. He was an amazing soldier for David. I mean, who wouldn't want to fight for old David? I mean, after what David did. Listen, he loved his king and he had his sword. And they had to pry his fingers loose. They say, you'll get my gun when you pry it loose from what? My cold, dead fingers, somebody said. His sword was like that. And Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Aholhite, you had to pull his fingers loose when he died. He died with the sword in his hand. There's worse ways you can go. He had a two-edged sword that he wreaked havoc on the enemies of God and enemies of Israel, and they couldn't get the sword loose from his hands. It was like it was part of him, and where his hand ended, the sword began. They were one. And that's how much we ought to love the Bible. They ought not be able to take our King James away. And I'm going to kind of show you this tonight. Take your Bible and look at Luke chapter 4, verse 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 4. Years ago, Dr. Howells preached a message. I think it was 1982, 1983. He came out with a message, and it's called the Every Word Bible. And that message split fundamentalism right down the middle. And what his thesis was that you can't live, because Jesus said, man shall not live but by every word that by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And he said, you can't live as a Christian. You can't get life, you can't live the Christian life unless you have an every word Bible. Every word's got to be right. That's kind of strict. That's kind of straight, isn't it? But I'm telling you, he laid it on the line. And he stuck with that message and gave that, I mean, ever so many messages, he'd just come right out and whack that issue real good. And I'm telling you, it made a hair lift a whole lot of people. But I'm telling you, it helped a whole lot of people because somebody of his stature said it. And look how Jesus quotes this verse. Luke chapter 4, verse 4. Look here with me. We're going to start slow. We're going to get going pretty fast here in a minute probably. But let's pray. Let's pray and ask God to help us before we start, all right? But dear Jesus, please help us tonight. I pray your Holy Spirit, the one you said that would guide us and lead us into all truth, would speak tonight. I pray you'd move me out of the way, and I pray that your word would be magnified. You said you'd magnify your word above your name, and I pray when this thing's over, everybody in here will know which one is the book and which ones are counterfeits. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus is getting tempted, and when he's tempted, the devil comes to him and said to him, if thou be the Son of God, verse 3, command that this stone be made bread. Jesus answered him and saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, if you have a King James, I just read you King James. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Now, if you have one of these new versions, would you please tell me, is there something missing in your verse? In Luke 4:4, in the version that you have in your hand. We've got all different, I think it's like, you know, there's 219 different versions that we know of so far. I don't have all of them, but we got some in here. We got quite a few different sets in here laying in people's hands. Does somebody have in there, ma'am, what is it? Ms. Brother Roberts, is that your name? And this is your daughter? Okay, does yours have the whole verse there? What does it cut out? In other words, in your version, does it say, or in this perversion, does it say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by, it just stops, it doesn't even put, but by every word of God? It stops with bread alone. So Jesus, it doesn't even make sense what he's saying to the devil there. Man shall not live by bread alone. Hey, listen to me. He says, it is written, three times. He must have been reading the book of Deuteronomy that morning because all three quotes he gave come out of Deuteronomy. He must have memorized it. Huh? That's a tough, long book to do. Hey, listen to me. He knocked him out with three punches out of the same book. And each temptation, he comes back with, it is written. And here's how he tells you, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And in almost every new version on the market, they cut out every word of God. Now tell me, who would want those words out? Oh, it's just a coincidence, Brother Freddie. I don't know if I believe. Hey, listen, we taught the young people this week. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. And stand therefore, we're taking you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And you may be able to stand against the wiles, that's the tricks of the devil. I think there's trick Bibles out there, if you ask me. And we're just getting started. So if you need to leave, I understand. Well, you head on. We'll know who you are. But I just think you ought to stick with this thing and check it out. You say, it's a coincidence. I don't believe it, because look at the next one. We're going to go back to the Old Testament and look at some of these. And look, if you would, at 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21 in your new versions. But first, let's read it in the King James, okay? We got to get the King James out to settle. 2 Samuel chapter 21. I told you you're going to have to be a Bible scholar like these Bible school kids are. They got Bible this week. I'll guarantee you. Zechariah, Jeremiah, the book of Hezekiah. I don't know what all they did. 2 Samuel 21 verse 19. Now I'm going to read the King James, and then I want somebody to read me what's missing and what it says in your new version. You got to have with one hand over here in this Bible and the other hand in this Bible. Okay, can look at it. Y'all with me? You see what we're doing? Look at it. 2 Samuel 21:19. There was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines where Elhanan, the son of Jehoiakim of Bethlehem. You say, Brother Reed, you didn't pronounce that right. How do you know? How do you know I didn't pronounce it just right? Nobody knows what some of these words are, so don't try to judge me. Amen. I might have got it right. I'm just guessing. Elhanan, the son of Jehoiakim of Bethlehem, slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Now, how many of y'all in your Bible, in your new verse, that's the King James, right? Is that the King James? Elhanan slew the brother of Goliath. David had 5 smooth stones. He wasn't planning on missing 4 times and had a contingency plan in place. Hey, listen, if he would have missed Goliath one time with that first rock, that smooth stone, he's dead meat. Goliath would have just sat on him and he'd have been a greasy spot. But David wasn't thinking 5 stones to kill Goliath. No, He's thinking one stone kills Goliath, and he wanted the starting five. It wasn't one-on-one, it was one-on-five. Goliath had four brothers. David knew his Bible, and David knew his enemy. He never underestimated. And he had four giant brothers, and he was going to kill all five of them. And they took off running so fast, they got scared of him, that he didn't get a chance to kill them right there. And so later, Elhanan kills one of those four brothers, the brothers of Goliath. How many of you have in your Bible that Elhanan, in your new version, killed Goliath? Raise your hand. Okay, what version do you have? Is it Ms. Anderson? Okay, what version you have? American Standard Version. Okay, that thing I think is 1901. If you look at that Bible, that my dad collected these. He would trade people Bibles. He'd be in the Bible trading business. And people would get new versions. And he said, listen, I will give you a brand new Bible if you'll give me that old one. And they said, sure. And he'd get it from them, and he'd give them a King James, and then he got an ASV one time. That's 1901. You don't even find that. You can't find that in no, it ain't going to be in no bookstore, used bookstore. It ain't going to be in no garage sale, nowhere. So we hang on to those things. Hey, you think, I'm going to throw it in the trash. Because you know what it says? Way back in 1901, these new versions started putting in there that Elhanan killed Goliath. Go figure. Hey, any first grader knows Elhanan didn't kill Goliath. Who killed Goliath? David killed Goliath. You ain't got a version. That's a counterfeit. And how many of y'all have a version, one of the versions that says like that, Elhanan killed Goliath? Are you seeing that thing? I can't believe they didn't check that one. You say, oh, that's just a coincidence. There's nothing to it. Well, let's see. Take your Bible and look at Job chapter 6, verse 6. Job chapter 6, move a little bit to your right. Job chapter 6, verse 6. My daddy showed me this one. He sat me down. He said, son, you better get this in your craw. This is one of the devil's biggest tricks. And I've heard a lot of old-time preachers say this, and I trust them because I've done my homework. The Bible says, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Amen? That's the commandment of God. Check it out. Prove it. Prove you got a real Bible. And hold fast to the one that's the real one. Are you with me? But you know what people say? They say, well, we're trying to make these new verses. The King James is kind of out of date. It's good, but it's kind of out of date, and it doesn't use the language we use today. Well, we don't want to go like the Living Bible and use the language people use today. No, stay away from that. We're talking about the Bible here. Listen to me. Some of y'all are starting to liven up a little bit. You're looking at me funny, like, man, what in the world are you saying? Just hang with it. It's only going to get worse before it gets better. So stick with me here. We've got a little turbulence coming up here in the next few moments. All right? But they say we try to update it to make it easier to understand. Job 6:6 in the new in the King James says, somebody read it out of your King James. Okay, Andrew got his hand up first, okay? Go ahead, son. In the King James, son, don't read one of them new ones, okay? Go ahead. Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt, or is there any taste in the white of an egg? Now, how are you going to make that plainer than the King James? Is there any taste in the white of an egg? No. Tastes like paper if you don't stick a little salt on it, huh? What does white of an egg taste like? Ain't much there. But you put a little salt on it, and it helps it. Hey, man. It's good stuff. Hey, listen to me. Brother Dave, you got a, is it RSV? What does yours say? All right, now this one came out in 1952. Look what this, listen to what his says. Is there any taste in the slime of a purslane? What in the world? How did they, what are they smoking when they got that version? Huh? They didn't even have crack and stuff back then like that. Hey, listen, they must have been on something. Somebody's trying to update the Bible, and they instead of saying, is there any taste in the white of an egg, they say, is there any taste in the slime of a purslane? What in the world is the slime of a purslane? That's scary. That's like raw oysters or something. I don't know what that is. I don't even know if there's a definition for those words. Hey, listen to me. That ain't a white of an egg, and that ain't updating it. You know why they update it? They don't update it so you can understand it. They update it because there's money. And you have to change a percentage of the words in your new version according to copyright laws, or they'll get you, they'll fine you, and they're after money. That's exactly what they're doing. And they mess it up, and it doesn't even make sense. Is there any taste in the slime of a purse laying? Go figure. Come on. You got to do better than that. Okay, Daniel 3:25. This is one of those checkpoints. All the new versions, just about everyone I mess with this. And notice what it says. Daniel 3:25. And here you got your story about the three Hebrew children. Your three Hebrew children. And look at this. Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. We're moving a little bit to the right now. And Daniel 3:25. No, Nebuchadnezzar, he's looking down in the fiery furnace now, and he doesn't see just three Hebrew children. He sees four men loose, and look what he sees. I love this. He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose," Daniel 3:25, "walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." How many of y'all in your King James have a capital S on Son? Out of respect, he's a person. That's one of his names. And you capitalize it out of respect. You better have a fear of God. Amen? The Son of G, capital G-O-D. How many of y'all have capital S, capital G in your King James? Now, what does your new version say? What does it say? You say, well, y'all are pretty hard. Brother Reyes says the King James is the only way. And you, Brother Freddie, you're coming in saying it's the same kind of thing. Why do y'all get so your nose out of joint over it? Hey, we're not. They attacked us. We had it. The Bible was right the whole time. And somebody came along and started messing with the words. Paul said, "We are not as many which corrupt the word of God." Over in 2 Corinthians 1. And even back in the days of Paul, they were already messing with the text. It's one of the devil's greatest tricks. You know the very first thing he does in the Bible? When he wants to get you to sin and he wants to get you eaten out of his hand. Something wrong? You know what he said to Eve? The very first thing he said, listen to me. He said, "Yea, hath God said," Genesis 3:2. "Yea, hath God said," "you shall eat of every tree in the garden." He got her to question the word of God. The very first thing the devil does is try to get you to question the word of God. How does he do it? He gets you confused. He gets all these different versions written, and you don't know which one is written. See, if two things agree, they both could be right. Not necessarily, but if two things agree, they both could be right. But if they disagree, one of them has to be wrong. And if he can get you to say, "Well, I don't know which one, they all sound pretty good," he can slide in, no telling what, and stick it in your hands. And pretty soon he'd have you eaten out of his hands. So he's got to get you to question the Bible. And he does it by messing with it and changing the words up. And Jesus said, you got to have every word if you're going to live. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, how many of y'all have in Daniel 3:25 something crazy that ain't like that? Okay, somebody help me. All right, now, is it brother? It starts with a W. What? How do you pronounce your name? Well, okay, that was what I was thinking. All right, Brother West. I think I'm getting it right. Brother West, whatever. All right, say it. Help me now. Brother, is it Westlink? All right, I'm getting close. Help. What does yours say? What version is it? NIV, and what does it say in Daniel 3:25? At the end of that verse, he has a son. Is it a capital S or a small s? And is it a capital G or a small g? Small g? At the end there? It's 3:25? Come on, I don't want a God like that. Hey, listen to me. It's supposed to be a capital G. How many of y'all have a small g? How many of y'all have in there something different than that? Somebody say, "Hey, okay, I got this or I got that." Raise your hand. Help me now. Somebody say, "I want to do it." All right, ma'am, what's your say? Looks like a God. Is it a capital G or a small g? It looks like a God. Hey, if I ever go through a fiery furnace, brother, if I ever had to go through something like that, I want the fourth one to be the Son of God. I want Jesus in the fiery furnace with me. I don't want, how many of y'all have something like divine being? Is that in there in one of your versions? Some of them have that. Some of them have a son of the gods, one of the gods, something like that. It's all different. They don't put the Son of God in the fiery furnace with you. Fool you on that junk. We got to get rid of that stuff. Amen? What does yours say? They're gone. Why would you want to take that out? That's the best part of the story. Huh? They just leave them in the burning fiery furnace? That's where they wind up? That's crazy. Okay, take your Bible and look at Isaiah 7:14. This is a famous verse. We use this at Christmas time. And you'll hear this verse. Many of you have heard it, and it's quoted in the New Testament as well. And here's what Isaiah said. I mean, good night, was it 500-600 years before Jesus was born? And look what he says in Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14 in your King James says this: "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Who do you think that's talking about? That's talking about Jesus and the virgin birth. It says, "Behold, I'll give you a sign. Behold, I'll give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." That means God with us. Okay, now that's King James, right? Now, somebody got a version. Brother Dave, what's your say? This is RSV. There may be two or three of these around.
"Therefore the Lord..."
Just a slight change, but they took the word virgin out and put a young woman in. Well, that ain't that bad, Brother Freddie. Is there a real difference in that? Hey, listen to me. Listen to me. This starts getting my blood boiling here. Because here's a version that comes out in 1952, endorsed by the National Council of Churches. And man, the preachers started ripping. They started seeing this. And old-time preachers back in the 50s and 60s said, that version is wrong. And everyone that's come along since has been wrong. But they put so much pressure because of this verse here. And the guy that was on the editorial committee of the RSV there in 1952, they asked him about it. They said, "Why did you take the word virgin out when referring to, you know, Jesus is being born? Mary was a virgin. It's a great prophecy." And he said, "Well, I put a young woman because we didn't really know for sure if she was a virgin or not." Look out, brother. Look out. If she wasn't, hey, listen to me. You know what the facts are. You get your body and bone structure and so forth from your mother, but you get your blood from your daddy. We're talking about the blood for a minute here, not just the book. Did you realize that even if you have a different blood type than your dad has? M.R. Dahan was a great radio preacher. Somebody told me, "Bro Reed, you got a great face to be a radio preacher." I said, "Thank you." And I walked off and said, that guy got me good. He's probably laughing behind my back. But M.R. Dahan was a medical doctor. And he wrote a book called The Chemistry of the Blood, a little bit pamphlet. It was unbelievable. And this is medical science. And he said back in the 50s and 60s, they've got this thing set, that you get your body, bone structure, and so much from your mom, but you get your blood from your dad. Hey, listen, if Jesus wasn't virgin born, if he had a human father, his blood's just as bad as Adam's, and it's just as bad as mine. It's got poison in it. It's got bad blood. He better be virgin born, and he was. And the heat came down, so a lot of these new virgins, they went back to, "Hey, we better shift our thing and get back there and say virgin." You should have said it the whole time. And it doesn't even make sense. "This shall be a sign unto you, a young woman shall conceive." What's a great sign about that? Young women conceive all the time, too young, huh? But hey, listen to me. There's not a miracle in that. There's not a sign in that. It doesn't even make sense. See, they mess up the whole doctrine. And they're fooling with big stuff. Adrian, oh my, there it is again. So some of them don't have a clue, and they just go ahead and copy with the last one that came out. Hey, listen to me. That's trouble. I don't want a Bible like that. Don't mess with that word. Leave that word alone. I believe in the virgin birth. My kids sang about it tonight. They don't even know what it means, but that's what we believe. Amen? Hey, listen to me. Take your Bible and look at Matthew 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 11. Look at this. Then we're moving over to the New Testament. And the King James says, "The Son of Man is come, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." Huh. The Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Now, how many of y'all would read yours to me? Is it slightly different? Okay, read, kids. Y'all going to have to chill for a little bit. I'm trying to get some help from people. All right, go ahead, sister. Go ahead. Okay, good. And somebody else, give me your version. What does yours say, ma'am? Right. It's a dash verse. Is it gone? In other words, the verse is gone? All right. How many of y'all have Matthew 18:11 is totally gone? Your version. I got a bunch of different verses out here, and they totally cut out Matthew 18:11 in most of your new versions. And yet what's interesting is they leave the numbering the same as the King James. That's like a counterfeit, if you ask me. Hey, if you're trying to counterfeit a $5 bill, you don't paint it orange. You get it the same color green, you get every, and you make one little old mistake there, and they won't notice. Are you listening? why don't you get your own numbering system instead of using the King James? Because they go, they don't know how to count to 12. They go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then they skip 11 and go to 12. My kids could count that high when they were 2. They could get to 12. I hope all of y'all could do that. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me. They leave the numbering the same as the King James because they don't want to get caught. That's a fake Bible is what that is. That's as fake and plastic as false teeth or something, huh? Hey, listen to me. Listen to Matthew 18:11. And you know what that is? You say, oh, that's just a small thing. The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. You know what that's talking about? That's a verse that tells you why Jesus came to the earth. He came to get people saved. And guess what kind of people? Matthew 18 is the children's chapter in the Bible, in the New Testament. He came to save children. Who would want to cut out the part that says Jesus came to save little kids? Who would want that out of there? You guessed it. You figured it out. Matthew 18:11 is completely gone. They just totally omit the verse. Now look at Mark 9:44. Notice this. You say, you're going to go all the way through the New Testament? Well, I ain't going to have time, but I'm going to try to milk it for all it's worth. Amen? And look at Mark 9:44. I know what time I need to be done, so hang in there. We got to keep you happy at least a little bit because we need some help getting this platform down after it's over. Amen? How many of y'all got a little bit more work left in you? Amen? I got a little bit left in the tank. Not much, but we need your help. We're going to help you. We're going to help. Look at Mark 9:44. And Mark 9:44, where it says in the King James, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Look at 46, King James, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Look at 48, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. How many of y'all have a version that cuts out 44 and 46? Totally missing. Enrique, what version do y'all have? Do you have there? ESV? Okay. English Standard, that's one of the more popular ones now. But they told that that's where a lot of people are going with that fad lately. Listen to me. They actually cut out a whole verse on hell. 2 times in a row, they cut out a verse on hell, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Do you realize that's the verse that Jesus quoted more than any verse in the Old Testament? It's out of Isaiah 66, and it says this back in Isaiah, and he got that Old Testament memorized, and it comes out in his sermons, and he says, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. He quotes it other places too. He keeps using that verse. There's something about that verse. And they cut that verse and chop it right out. In your NIV, that's just one version they've done studies on. They take the word hell out of the Old Testament over 60 times. Just chop hell out of it and put the word grave in its place. Jehovah Witnesses love that. JWs love that because they believe there is no such thing as hell. Hell is the grave. So they chop out hell in the Old Testament over 60 times and put grave down. And in the New Testament, guess what they do? They take the word hell completely out, and every time they put the word Hades, H-A-D-E-S, because they're trying to update it. They want you to be able to understand it better. So they say, instead of saying you're going to hell, they say you're going to Hades. Now tell me, how in the world is that updating hell? You know what they say? Hell is the 15th most popular word in the English language right now in leisure time. Another word that starts with a D. I don't want to say it because you'll say that's cussing in church, but these Bibles are the ones that cuss. Hey, listen to me. Another word that starts with a D that has 4 letters in it, y'all know what I'm talking about now. It's the 8th most popular word right now in the English language. And it's okay to use those words if you're talking about the place, a real place. But how many of you have ever heard somebody get mad at you and say, man, just go to Hades? They don't say that. They say H-E-double-L hockey sticks or whatever, huh? That's what they say. They ain't updating it. So they cut out that verse right there, and in many of the new versions, they changed the word hell to something that they can't even understand what it is. Who in the world knows what Hades is? It's a transliteration. It's not even really an English word. I'm not going to get any deeper than that because I don't go very deep, huh? But I'm telling you, that's exactly what it ain't even a real word. So here you are in Mark. They cut out the word hell. They cut out the verses on hell. Major doctrine. Look at Luke 2:33. We're almost done, but you got to see these. Luke 2:33. You say, Brother Reed, they wouldn't mess with John 3:16. Oh, they wouldn't mess with that. We're called the 3:16 family. Yeah, that's what we are. Junior 3:16 and Pee-wee 3:16 and Sissy 3:16. We got the whole Sweet 16 is my wife. They don't call me sweet. But I'm Mr. John 3:16. They wouldn't mess with that. Well, we'll wait and see. Look at Luke 2:33. We got to get this one. And here's what they said about baby Jesus. Luke 2:33 in the King James, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, of baby Jesus. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things that were spoken of him. How many of y'all have a version? Maybe somebody that we hadn't called on yet would raise your hand and say, Brother Reed, my version doesn't say, Brother Ed, what's your say? His father and mother? The King James says, and Joseph and his mother. What version is that you have? Revised Reader's Version. Okay? And it says his father and his mother marveled at what was spoken of. Hey, once again, was Joseph his father? No. Be like today, like a stepdad, but Jesus didn't get his blood from some human being down here. In Acts 20:28, it says he got his blood from God. God's blood was in his veins. And that blood's so holy and pure and perfect, it can wash away the dirtiest sin I ever committed. And yours too. Thank God for that blood. Hey, listen to me. It says in the King James, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things that were spoken. And how many of y'all have a new version that puts his father or in his mother or his parents? How many of y'all have parents in there? They'll put it like that. Hey, listen to me. Joseph wasn't his father. This one makes me mad. Joseph's not his dad. He raised him. He was a good man. He was chosen. But listen, he's not his father. And later in the chapter, when he turns 12, it's like a latchkey kid or something. They left him at the temple. Mary messed up. And she got a day's journey down the road, and he had brothers and sisters. Now, this will drive a Catholic crazy a little bit, because they say she was a perpetual virgin, according to the popes and stuff, that she was just a perpetual virgin. And she never had any other kids. But in Mark, you read Mark, she had brothers. Jesus had half-brothers and half-sisters. Stepbrothers and stepsisters, or what do you want to call it, okay? Hey, listen to me. He had them. And so they get all their kids in the car. I guess it's his bar mitzvah. He's age 12. And they go down, he probably quotes the whole Old Testament to them, you know, passes his bar mitzvah pretty well. And then they head home. We got to get back home. I got to get to work, Joseph said. And he heads home, and they get home, and they look in the rearview mirror, and Jesus ain't in the back seat. Where's Jesus? We lost him. And Mary's going, oh, no, not Jesus. I could have lost some of you other kids, but I don't need to lose Jesus. Hey, listen to me. And it took them 3 days to find him. You realize you could get backslid faster than you can get right? It took 3 days. And when they found and they got back to the temple, where do we leave? Right where we left him. It's a great lesson. And when they get back, he's teaching the doctors and lawyers Bible. He's giving them Old Testament. He's giving the whole thing to them. And they're sitting there, take notes on that, son. Where'd you get that at? What school did you go to? Hey, listen to me. And they kind of get huffy at him and said, Jesus, man, what are you doing? Man, we've been looking for you for 4 days. Yeah, I noticed. And he said, here's what he said. He said, wish at the end of chapter 2, he said, wish you not that I must be about my father's business. And it's a capital F. Boy, what a stunner. Buddy, what a statement. Like he knew they were going to attack this verse 2,000 years before they started doing it. Joseph is not his father. He's got a heavenly father, and it's a capital F. Are we okay? John 3:16, you look at it in many of your new versions. He says his one and only son. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He gave his only son. You say, what's wrong with saying that? Well, is Jesus God the Father's one and only son? No, he's his only begotten son. There's a huge difference. Why is that? Because the Bible said, the kid's saying, he loves me like I was his only child. We're all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. We're adopted children. We're adopted into God's family. We got all the legal rights of the son, the heir. Hey, listen to me, we do. But we're not begotten. We're born again. Are you listening to me? And we're adopted in. And it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall, but we know that when he shall appear, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It's all through the New Testament. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So you become a child of God the moment you trust Christ as your Savior. We had some do it this morning. Had several do it this week. Hey, listen to me. He's not his one and only son, like it says in the New Versions in John 3:16. You say, you're just getting real tough about it. He's not his one and only son, or I'm in trouble. He's his only begotten son. He's the only one that's got God's blood in him. There you go. Acts 8:37, we got to wrap it up with this. Man, I hate quitting, but I got to stick a caboose on it. Acts 8:37. I could take you to Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the King James says, even the remission of sins. And in the New Version, every one of them, they cut out through three words, through his blood. In whom we have redemption, and they cut out through his, they cut the blood out. You know what a Bible is? The NIV does that. They say NIVKEYMOU. I shouldn't have said that. I'm not supposed to sing that in church. But hey, listen to me. The NIV, if you're short on blood in your Bible is anemic. That's what it is. If you're a little short on blood, they cut the blood out. They cut the Trinity out of 1 John 5:7. The verse is totally gone. The greatest verse in the New Testament on the Trinity. Look at this, Acts 8:37. And notice what it says in King James, Acts 8:37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Who's he talking to? The eunuch that just got saved. He says, can I get baptized now? After you get saved, the very next thing you need to do is get baptized in deep water. That's what you need to do. And the eunuch knew that. Somehow he knew that. He said, I want to get baptized. Can I? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he went over and found some water over there in the ditch and dunking in deep water. And the eunuch left there rejoicing, went on his way. And I think he said he evangelized Ethiopia after that. Good convert. Hey, listen to me. That verse 8:37 is totally gone. Is it gone in your Bible? Is it gone in your Bible? How many of you have it gone in your Bible? Who would want to cut that verse out? It is the strongest verse in the New Testament, in the Bible, in what we call adult immersion, adult baptism. That doesn't mean you have to be an adult to be baptized. Don't get me wrong. But there are groups, lots of churches that do this, that baptize babies. And why is that not correct to do that? Here's why. We dedicate babies. I thought that was the coolest thing what I saw this morning. A whole family, 2, 3, 4 deep. I mean, sitting up here. And here's this one little baby, giving that little baby to the Lord, the 1-year-old baby. But you got to, before you can get baptized in deep water, it's probably only a safe way to do it. Make sure you're tall enough that you won't drown. Huh? You got to be able to hold your breath, right? No. You got to believe with all your heart. You got to be saved. You got to have a heart full of Jesus before you get baptized. But as soon as you get that, you got to get baptized. So this verse teaches that, and it's cut out of all your new versions. Now, I'm going to finish with this one, Revelation 13:16. A guy came up, my pastor said, he told me 2 years ago, he said, preach this on a Sunday night, Freddie, everywhere you go. He gave me an order. It's like I got the memo, you know. He said, I want you to preach this all over America. And we preached it, and we're doing it here tonight. A guy came up to me after a message, I guess a year ago, and he said, look in Revelation 13:16 when you get home. And I never even heard anybody, Riplinger, any of them, ever talk about this. It's right under our nose. Revelation 13:16 in your King James. And he's talking about the Antichrist. It says, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. That's that 666 thing, huh? If you get left behind, there's going to be something inside your body. In your new versions, it doesn't say in. It says on. Huh? Is there any difference? There's just one little letter. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of my mouth. He's going to put something in you. You see, the devil knows. When Jesus gets somebody, he's got to come in, all the way in. It's not a tattoo. It's not going to be something you're going to see 666 on somebody. It's a microchip, possibly. They got this stuff all set up, man. It's so scary, man. We're there, man. We're at the dropping off place or the going up place. And the King James happens to say in you, in your right hand, in your forehead. And almost every new version, how many of y'all got on in yours? See that? King James, they say, oh, it's way back hillbilly, y'all. No, it's ahead of everybody else. Let's stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.